Blog Talk Radio.
Fade was a little quick. I mean, never mind. I'll talk to him about that later. I'll also see if I can get the original intro file that he put together. The intro was just recently done by AJ. He called me up and he's like, "Hey, man, I uploaded you an intro and I put it on the thing there, so I got to get the original file and figure out what I want to say over it and yada, yada, yada." Hello, everyone. How are y'all doing today? This is Wednesday, the 31st of January, February, March, April, May 31st, which makes tomorrow the 1st, and it also makes July the 4th right around the corner. Sorry, got sidetracked. I got to make a note of this thing here in just a second. Smith, you're with us, yeah?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Okay.
I'm just kind of waiting to get plugged in, and we can go.
I understand. Anything catch your attention this week while I try to turn my mic down so I can make a notation over here for the security thing?
A couple things kind of caught my attention this past week. One, which was a gentleman that is probably going to be held a hero here in Texas. He was... He pulled out his weapon to help defend a young lady, and he is now being held a hero in the event that could have got him killed. But because it's Texas and police bag, the good guys, incidentally, there was no issues at hand.
So, in other words, somebody successfully used their concealed carry to defend someone else and run off a perpetrator. Any shots fired in that deal?
Not at all. But, yeah, that was pretty good. That's the first thing. And then the second thing was there was a shootout in another city in Dallas. Not in the city in Dallas, but another city in Texas where it was a couple of bounty hunters that went into a Nissan dealership trying to pick up a fugitive out of Corpus Christi. And there was gunfire exchange. And there's a video inside the dealership of about 20 shots and three bounty hunters and two individuals who were killed by the bounty hunters. So three people died in that event. The two gentlemen that were one had the bounty and the other one was a friend, and then one of the bounty men died in that incident. So that's been on the news pretty strong. What about you?
Well, you know, it sounds to me like they didn't do that right. Anytime you end up in a situation where you're exchanging gunfire in a public place, yeah, you screwed up somewhere. That's, unless it's an absolute last-ditch effort. In other words, the guy that they were going in to pick up pulled first and started firing. I don't know.
It's kind of actually, that's exactly what happened. The gentleman went to pull out a weapon, and what happened, the firearm kind of got stuck on his waistband and then dropped on the table. Thus giving, the bounty a couple of minutes to get their stuff together and But by the time they pulled, draw their weapon, he picked it up and started firing. So, you know, it was exchange. It was pretty close, too.
Any idea who actually hit the civilians?
No, they haven't confirmed any of that yet. It's pretty fresh, and after 20 bullets flying, I'm pretty sure that it's going to take a minute for them to get CSI in there and, you know, figure out what happened specifically.
I've always wondered if CSI was actually a real thing or something they just put up on television to convince people that this is what we do to investigate, right? Anyway, as usual, I've been like way unplugged over the last couple of weeks. Couple of months. So I haven't really been doing much. You know, whatever news I pick up to do on the show, I usually do like right before the show, which I didn't have time to do that today. However, I did have time. On last night's program with Eva, I had mentioned this. There's a Clinton insider that did an interview on Lisa Haven's YouTube page. This guy's name is Larry Nichols. And if I'm remembering correctly, which with me is always debatable, but I believe at one point in time he was billed as basically being the hitman for the Clintons. If not that, at least a fixer of some sort. So,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. He was definitely inside the whole Clinton campaign. If I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, but I think he actually started out in Arkansas with the Clintons as opposed to, you know, coming on board after the presidency. But this guy, okay. We have our constitutional checks and balances to keep in mind, right? That's what everybody says, and that's what everybody relies on. But
right.
The headline that got my attention on this is the Clinton insider leaks. They plan to impeach Trump in 6 months. So, you know, after all the other, you know, the really crazy people talking, we've got to impeach him, we've got to impeach him, we've got to impeach him. It sounds like somewhere along the lines they have to have a plan. Well, it's very possible that this guy's got a plan. And the way this is working, if I'm understanding everything correctly, there are people that are still in Washington that know this guy, Mr. Nichols. And because they know Larry Nichols will talk about it in a public forum, they call him up. Because they trust him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got this video queued up. I was going to try to trim it down a little bit, but then that kind of makes me feel bad for cutting the actual producer of it out. So instead of doing that, I'm just going to go ahead and play it until it gets to the point that it's not feasible anymore. In other words, if they go off into other conversations or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But I know you've got your stack of napkins for notes over there. I've got a little stack of napkins here myself. So if there's anything that catches your attention, make note of it, and we'll talk about it afterwards.
All right, before you jump into the video, I just want to let you know that actually the first time that I came across Larry Nichols was a production by InfoWars, and it was a documentary. And it was going back to the days where Bill Clinton was going to see one of the ladies that lived at this particular hotel. I'm sorry, not a hotel, but apartment complex. So that's where I ran into him. So you can also find the documentary on InfoWars as well. So I just wanted to interject that in there.
Do you remember which documentary that was? Because Alex is a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Let me see. It would take me maybe a couple of seconds to put it together.
It was probably one of his early ones, and all of those are also available on YouTube. If Alex is still doing what he normally does, all of those documentaries that he did are still available on YouTube. Of course, in the middle, there's like a 15-minute freaking commercial, but that's beside the point.
So what it's called, Ray, is The New Clinton Chronicles. And that was dated for 2015. once again, the New Clinton Chronicles, and it's dated 2015.
So the idea there is Larry Nichols isn't just the guy that suddenly popped up on the thing. You know, there's a lot of people that never knew who Roger Stone was, and they probably still, you know, there's a lot of folks that still don't know who Roger Stone is. But Roger Stone and Larry Nichols kind of ran in the same circles back in the day. Anyway, also because of the potential for airplane overflights and things along those lines, I'm going to go ahead and take the opportunity to mute your mic just so we don't get all that extra stuff. And I'll turn mine down as well. Anyway, so let's see. Where'd it go? There it is. I have a special file made for this stuff. I can put all kinds of videos up here and get them queued up, and then I can just push these buttons, and it plays.
Hi, everyone. Lisa Haven here, and I have a huge bombshell that's going to be dropped on my program today. Clinton insider Larry Nichols is coming on, and he's got some in-depth and inside information on Donald Trump, the Democrats, impeachment, and the whole nine yards. But I'm going to kind of let him tell you that. Now, he's also got a book, 28 Years to Nowhere. As you guys know, he is an author. Amazing book. I've read the whole thing. Gets into all the blood trails on the Clintons, Vince Foster, and hundreds of others that I believe follow that. Great info. And that's at larrysbook.com. Also, Larry's going to be opening up his own website and eventually starting a YouTube channel, which I encourage all of you to follow. But I'll leave information below. But his new website is larrynichols.us, and you can subscribe there with that channel. But before I get into any of that, I want to just introduce you straight up to Larry. Larry, are you with me over there?
Yes, ma'am. I am. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on the broadcast. I know your health has been like up and down recently, so I'm glad I can at least bring you on via audio. So I guess let's just, you know, jump right into it. Can you tell me what's going on with the Democrats, Donald Trump, and all of that?
All right. Let me just say it out loud for everyone to hear. They plan to impeach Donald Trump within the next 6 months. Now, that does not necessarily mean that he'll be impeached and out of office, because remember, you got to go through an impeachment, then you got to go through a Senate trial. But once they announce that he's impeached, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Now, folks, to show you what's coming, most all of you, I think, are aware that going around as conservative congressmen, senators, speakers, as they go around and have these town hall meetings or these gatherings, George Soros and his crew and Obama, they have got people that come out, and I call them paid anarchists. Lisa, they literally come out, and their job is to stand up in the a town hall meeting and put the congressman or senator through the mill, shout them down, totally disrupt the meeting. That's what they've been doing. Y'all have all seen that. But here's the new twist. They are training, starting, I think, first of next month or maybe the middle of next month, they will start training their trainers back out and do it again, except this time, Lisa, they're going to go out and pretend that they're us. They're going to pretend that they're us. I'm sure that's thrown some of you for a little bit of a loop. So may I explain? When they call on the impeachment, their whole motive is to put this country into a constitutional crisis, which I have told y'all about over and over and over, which leads to FEMA provisional government. Now, let me back up a little bit. Remember with Hillary, with Obama, all that they had to do under, if Hillary were elected, all they would have to do is get, for example, five major cities to have five major riots all virtually at the same time. Then FEMA triggers automatically. You don't have to go through Congress. It's triggered. The other way it triggers automatically is an act of war or an invasion. Any other situation that poses a constitutional crisis, Lisa, it goes to Congress, and Congress has to vote. You with me? I hope I haven't confused everybody.
No. So in other words, if there's five cities where there's rioting, then FEMA takes over without Congress. So,
mm-hmm.
Right? So that would be way around the system. If you can that kind of involvement, which obviously George Soros funded groups, it's 100% plausible.
Right. Now, what they're going to do when they cause the impeachment, when that's announced, they're going to go around with these paid analysts, except guess what? They're going to play like they're us, the Trump people, the conservative Christian moral people. And riot. Blame it on us. Now, I have been told they will probably not do the automatic triggering. Because Trump is in office, the whole plan of the automatic triggering mechanism, Lisa, has been, at this time, it's off the table. And here's why. When he gets impeached, here comes a constitutional crisis. Congress has to come in, and they got to handle this crisis. They will use FEMA provisional government as the basis or the backbone of what they're going to do. And so what they would do is the first thing that has to happen chronologically to get the FEMA provisional government in is you have to do one thing. You have to get Congress to set aside our constitutional representative form of government. They got to do that. And what is scary, it scares me to death, Lisa, once they set aside our present type of government, then Congress will invoke what will be called a temporary emergency government plan under FEMA, and then they will put in whoever they want to be king. It will not be Mike Pence.
How do you think they'll get away with not allowing Mike Pence up?
Because when they set aside the constitutional representative republic form of government during this emergency, it is set aside. So you see, in the Constitution, if Donald Trump is forced to resign or gets killed or whatever, you know, in our Constitution, the provision is that he's replaced by the vice president.
Right.
They're going to remove the constitutional form of government. They're going to remove it.
Through the FEMA provisional government.
Right. They're going to rule that there's a national crisis. It's a constitutional crisis, which means it literally is so bad, like the Civil War, where it could, you know, destroy our nation. And then they will come at the American people saying, oh, woe is us, woe is us. The sky's falling, the sky's falling. And then Congress will say, hold on, we got the answer. What we're going to do, we planned for this. You know, we're going to put in a temporary emergency government to get us through this crisis. Okay?
Okay.
And then that's what they'll do. Remember, when our Constitution is legally set aside, then Congress at that point could put together any kind of government. They could turn us into communists. They could turn us into dictatorial. They could turn us into an oligarchy. Anything they want under the provision or proviso that is an emergency temporary plan to stabilize the country. But that's how they'll sell it to us. It's just temporary. You know, Lisa, don't worry. We're just having to do this, protect the country. It's temporary. When the whole truth of the matter is they'll never turn it back. Never.
Okay.
And guys, I know some of you are thinking that I'm crazy. Well, number one, you're right. I am crazy. Because as the book 28 Years to Nowhere will show you, I've spent 28 years of my life trying to correct something that I did, that I helped do. And I stayed after the Clintons. Hillary's gone now. And by the way, to my knowledge, Hillary is not included in a new provisional government plan. The Democrats have had it with her. They're blaming her for all of the losses, you know, the state seats and all of the gubernatorial seats. They blame her for all of it. So for all practical purposes at this point, Hillary's out of the picture in this provisional plan.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's bad news if the provisional plan goes through, but you think they'll actually be able to push it that far?
Oh, yeah. Think about it, Lisa. Remember one of the rules in the system that I helped build. Number one, where, I'll test your memory about me a little bit. Where did I come up with much of the strategies that are used in the Clinton system? Where did they come from?
Well, you built a lot of that. Put a lot of it together.
Yeah, but where did I get the concepts? From Hitler. Mein Kampf. And one of the things that we had as one of our rules, one of our plays, as we called them when I was with the Clintons, was that if you control the media and you tell a lie often enough, and that's all anybody hears is the lie. Hitler proved that if you do that long enough and that's all people hear, eventually, you know what? It becomes true.
Yeah.
Now, that's what they're doing with Donald Trump today. So that y'all know, when Mueller comes in and starts this investigation, Mueller is a part of the system in Washington, D.C. He's a part of it. So Donald Trump poses everybody in Washington, D.C., from department head to cabinet level, to Congress, to the Senate. He poses a problem to all of them because he is there not a politician. He's there like we asked him to go and be an outsider and try to fix things. Well, the establishment in Washington, which most people think is two parties, Republican and Democrat, in truth, folks, there are not two parties. That's just the game they play to keep us confused and to keep us happy and satisfied.
So true.
Now, when they, let me say it this way, if they get to the point that they pull this off, once the Constitution is set aside, this is conjecture on my part, so please take it as such. I can't swear to it. I can't prove it. But I believe, Lisa, that they're planning to reinstate Obama.
Oh, please, no, that'd suck. Now, is there a way to stop this? I mean, because obviously,
yes, ma'am.
What is that direction we need to take to keep this plan, especially Obama, if he is reinstated, I'm going to go nuts because that was just hell. What's the way to stop that?
Well, what I'm doing here today, and I don't like to tell people, I don't like to be another come along that just tells a problem and then, you know, get everybody all war hooped up and then leave. The reason I'm going to do the YouTube thing, as you know, Lisa, I don't have enough breath to do talk shows left and right, one after another, like in the old days.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is do a little 3 to 10 minute daily, kind of like a bulletin. I think we're going to call it Nichols Notes. And in that's where we're going to have ongoing instructions of what we've got to do to stop this. But now I'm going to tell you the outline of how to stop it. Every member of Congress, folks, every member of Congress has got to run again in 2018. You can forget trying to get a Democrat to do anything. Forget it. But here is what I had said in Ohio when I did a plan for the Tea Party there. Donald Trump did it nationally. Folks, we don't need to start another political party. A lot of people tell me that. They say, we need to get another party, one for us. You get another party, we never win. We split it up.
Yeah.
But what we can do, Lisa, is we can take control. We can literally take over the RNC. We can take it. We can literally put the Republicans that are in office, who right now are planning to betray Trump, but they're waiting for, you know, they're waiting to get the okay so that they can say, oh, we didn't know that, now we've got to do it. You know, now we've got to impeach him. I didn't want to, I didn't think there was anything to this, but now, golly, we've got to do it. And it gives them cover. What we've got to do, folks, first, remember what our founding fathers gave us. They gave us three weapons to use when the day came that they knew would come, when bad people would get control of our government. They knew it. They knew it was coming. And they even told us, if you recall, Lisa, they said, we must be vigilant. We dropped the ball on being vigilant. But they did say also that if our government becomes tyrannical, it is the duty of each and every American to overthrow it, right?
Right.
Now, first things first, number one, and I will help y'all with this. Number one, no, every Republican member of Congress and a third of the Senate. And the Republicans that have to run out of that third for the Senate, they're never more vulnerable, Lisa, never. And I think I've done a pretty good job over the years pointing out to your audience and others that the establishment of Washington, D.C., which is both parties, everything, they don't care about us, they don't care about the country, they care about nothing except one thing, their job.
Yeah, power.
That's right, power.
Mm.
We're going to show up at the town hall meetings, and we're going to make it very clear to the Republicans that are running. Either you stand firm with President Trump,
or you're out.
Or you're out, and we will see to it. And they know, because of what they saw with Donald Trump, it's not an idle bluff.
Right.
If we all stand together, now I'll tell you what the Republicans are going to say to you, so get ready. They're going to say, okay, Nichols, that's really sweet. So you're telling people to go out there and elect a Democrat. That don't really make sense, doesn't it?
No.
Let me tell you what you say to that, folks, or what I'll say, and I hope you do. Number one, I would rather than have a traitor among us, I would at least like to know if the person that's in Congress or the Senate that represents me, if that person is a traitor, I'd really rather know it than to have somebody in there that is a traitor but covers and hides it. So you see, Lisa, we're at the point now, y'all, to where we've got nothing to lose. Nothing. I mean, either we reelect a Republican that is a part of this system that's going to end up, that Republican, if we're not careful, is going to turn back this effort to get rid of Trump. And we got that, or we got a Democrat. Or we got another thing. We scare the bejesus, Lisa, out of every Republican running for office in Washington, D.C. We make them feel us. We make them feel the mad. We make them feel the seriousness to which we take this. And it does not mean if, for example, we have to take a congressman that's turning on us and betraying the country and his oath that he swore when he took his office. When we find one of those, if they do not conform to our wishes, we're not going to have to elect a Democrat. because we'll pick somebody and run against them in the general, in the primary election. And for those of you that think you can't do that and win, I remind you, go back and look at Donald Trump. In the primaries, Lisa, you know this. The establishment Republicans did everything in their power to rig all of these, all the race, the, you know, the first race.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they rig a lot. And Larry, we're coming close on time here, just to FYI, as you finish.
Okay. Well, and this is the problem, Lisa. This is complicated, but it's real. So we go and we put pressure on the Congress. Then I ask y'all to do one other thing. When there is a town hall meeting, go. And when these anarchists stand up and shout them down, your job is to stand up and be heard. Be heard.
And I second every bit of that. And I always say, you know, get on your senators and your congressmen's pages, their Facebook pages, their Twitter pages, respond, comment, like when they do something in support of things that you like, dislike, you know, what they're doing that you don't like. Look, if we don't start getting politically active like the far left, we're in hell over, you know, we're in hell over high water. Whatever the statement, I always say it backwards, but I mean, we're in a lot of trouble, and that's just it. And like Larry said, you know, we're facing impeachment of Trump. He's got inside information that that's a real possibility if something isn't done now to stop it. If we don't up our game and start getting politically involved and making our voices heard, then we could meet a dead end here soon. And the America that you're looking at is not going to be the America you once knew. So,
it will be
and,
no more. And I would imagine every one of you that are wondering, well, why do I say 6 months? They believe that they must make this move within 6 months so that they will have time to betray Trump, which, by the way, is betraying us. And then, like they've always done, that'll kind of settle down and people will forget it. And then they'll run and get in there. Get elected.
Now, Larry, I encourage everyone, check out his book, 28 Years to Nowhere. It's at LarryNichols.com.
No, the book is LarryNicholsBook.com.
Okay, LarryNicholsBook.com. His website is LarryNichols.us, and I'll leave links. And make sure you check out his book because it's got a lot of information in there. It details some of the plans. I mean, Larry really was involved in that years ago, so he kind of knows the ins and outs. And not only that, but Larry's going to be opening up, as I said in the beginning of this, his own YouTube channel. So I'm excited to see it. And he's going to have, you know, little quick tidbits where he's going to explain, okay, this is how you can help. This is how you can get involved.
That's right. And Lisa, let me say this to all of you. I know what I'm saying sounds crazy, but I would ask y'all this, even if you, I know some of you don't like me, some of you hate me, some of you like me, it don't matter. What I ask you to do, look at the things I have said will happen over the past 28 years, and you tell me whether I told the truth or not.
Exactly.
What I told you would happen, happened, and I'm telling you the same here. There's one other thing I'd like to put in as a caveat. You know, I'm broke. I have nothing. Nothing at all. May I give them the PayPal account?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, NicholsLive@AOL.com. I'll leave a link. He's got a lot of medical issues and medical bills. So any support or funding you can do, send it to Larry today. And instead of me, send it on Larry's way today. He definitely needs it. And I think you're well-deserving because, you everything you do for free here online. So I'm highly thankful.
Just know this, Lisa, I'm very, very proud of you and what you've done and how you've helped me get my word out, my message out through all these years and months that we've been together. But folks, this is very, very real. This is not some wild-eyed conspiracy theory. Look for yourself. We are in the middle of a silent coup. Even Rush Limbaugh. Remember when I came on your program months ago saying we were in a silent coup?
Yep, I remember before anyone else said it. And
now Limbaugh's even acknowledging that we're in the middle of a silent coup. They have taken over the media. They've taken over everything.
Okay. For the last minute or so of this, they're basically just rehashing whatever. Smith, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. So, what did you think of that?
Besides that she's a little Dempsey, I kind of agree with Larry. I think some things are about to change in America. I don't know what the extent will be or if it would be just as he said, but I do believe that impeachment is coming down the line. And I do believe that it is an act of sabotage on the behalf of people that act against the will of the people. So we'll see.
Well, and that's just it. And it's like I was talking to you about this kind of a little bit the other day. It's okay. Let's assume for a moment that this actually is the plan. Okay, we don't know if it's the plan, but we know that this is a plan that is being put out there. And you know, Larry saying that this is the plan, whatever. But see, you take something like this and you get it out. You get it out to where everybody's at least, you know, roughly familiar with it. Okay. And then if they try to put it in play, people start going, wait a minute, I heard about this. Wait, constitutional crisis? How is this a constitutional crisis? If Trump's not supposed to be the guy, then we can take the next guy in line. And there's a whole list of guys in line, okay? There's a lot of them in that line that you probably won't like. But that's beside the point. The line is there. So, but now if they start playing this FEMA card, provisional government card, and taking these steps, see, my thought is if we get the information out there and they know that everybody knows that it's bogus, then that might, you know, stop them in their tracks more or less. It might be, you know, okay, well, we can't do this. We can't do this now because everybody knows that this is what we're trying to do. So what's next? You know, let's kick this can down the road. And I thought it interesting. That the 6-month time frame, so that everybody has a chance to forget.
Right.
Which is basically what that's all about. Gives them what, 18 months to forget before the next round of elections.
Right. Well, what was the connection between, I remember him saying something to the effect that FEMA and Obama, so what would be the connection between Obama and the FEMA? Like, he's not over it, he has no ties to it, so how would that?
No, you're right. So, let's say the idea is to pick somebody that has experience in leadership, supposedly, at least held in a leadership office, let's put it that way, still alive, still wants power, would be willing to do it, that the American people wouldn't reject just out of hand. You know, how many people can you think of that fit all that?
I can think of at least 5.
Okay. I'm on that list of 5.
You say, are you on the list?
No, not me. I asked if Obama was on that list of 5.
Yeah, low 5.
Now, keep in mind, this may not be your own personal list. This may not be the list of people that you would like to have on there. I would like to have Ron Paul in there somewhere. You know, I'd like to have people in there that actually, you know, instead of claiming to be constitutional lawyers and you know, work to support it and protect it as opposed to subvert it and, you know, whatever, but that, you know, our personal preference on that list doesn't really play. You know what I mean? We don't really have a lot of say in it. How many people could step back into that role and hit the ground running?
Well, you have Al Gore, you have the current, not the current vice president, but the past Vice President Biden. Hell, you got Hillary Clinton, you got Bill Clinton. That's 4 right there.
Okay, but you also heard him say that they don't, the Democratic Party is sick and tired of the Clintons.
Well, I really can't tell because they really threw Sanders under the bus for Clinton.
Right, but that was at the beginning of the – that was during the primaries.
Yeah, but in my mind, I don't think they – I'm pretty sure that they knew that she wasn't going to win. I'm pretty sure they knew.
Honestly, don't know. Okay.
But I guess I'll follow you. Moving on.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you're looking for the leader of the new world at this point in time, the new provisional government, there's not a large pool to pull out of.
No, not at all.
And for better or for worse, Obama would be in that pool. Now, did you also catch the other bit where he was talking about, okay, we all know that in all the riots that have been coming up, happening up until this point, including but not limited to some of the stuff happening out at Berkeley, there were people that actually traveled around the country to go to that and participate in that. So that base already exists. So what happens if you talk to those people and you put them in, red MAGA ball hats, Make America Great Again ball hats, and red shirts, and send them back out into the streets rioting?
Well, now, a different kind of scenario, isn't it?
Yeah. Especially since how they have this thing that where FEMA automatically triggers.
Right.
See, and if you stop and think about it, FEMA is outside of the Constitution. FEMA did not exist.
Right.
Okay, so everybody, am I hoping for something like this to happen? No. This isn't the way I want it to go. Not by any stretch. If something bad has to happen, I would really rather it be something outside of human control than something that is being orchestrated by humanity or a segment of humanity. But
is that kind of like unrealistic? Because through history, the only things that have really made things go bad is us. Or living too close to a volcano or the ocean, per se.
Well, that's true. I mean, okay. But the difference there, though, is, okay, I was looking at the videos, some of the videos that came out of the Japanese tsunami, okay? Mm-hmm. And for all the hundreds of years they lived on that coastline and were able to build up their society along that coastline, and then, once in a blue moon, something comes along and tears everything down.
Right.
But that's nature outside of their control. So
right.
What are they going to do? Move 10 miles inland because once, every 100 years something comes along and wipes out everything?
Why, if that's the case, I want to talk about this for a little bit too. If every 100 to 120 years, something devastating is going to happen, and we say that we're pretty smart, why would you build in that same spot every time? There's no way. I'm sorry. There is just no way that I'm going to invest in any properties that I know could potentially be flooded every 100 or 120 years, or live by a volcano that I know that's going to erupt, That's insane to me. Like, and then we claim we're smart. That's unreal. No. Facts show otherwise in that case. So, I don't know about that.
In all reality, throughout the lifespan of this country, how many natural disasters have actually hit say New Orleans, for instance?
Quite a few, actually. A lot of them weren't even mentioned on the news.
Well.
What else? New Orleans. What's another one? Oh, Oklahoma. Oklahoma is well known for being torn up by tornadoes.
Right. So what are you going to, dude. Live in Central Texas, we're known for tornadoes. So sure. You're leaving when?
Yeah, when last time a tornado touched down here or Central Texas?
Well, there's the one that tore through Lancaster here several years ago. There was the one that tore through Fort Worth right about the time that I first moved back here to this part of the country, which would have been 06, I think.
Yeah, but that's not happening. That's something that was unheard of at the point in time. It's not like it's happening to every 100, 120 years where you know it's coming. Like that was just random. That wasn't something that
okay.
you know.
So
reflects.
But see, where does something like that happen every 100 years, 120 years?
Every 6 months, it's tornadoes in Oklahoma.
Well, I don't know. I don't know why.
Gotcha.
What I'm trying to get to is where are you gonna live in the continental U.S. that's not gonna be subject to some kind of a natural disaster? And why aren't you living there now?
That's a good question.
Okay, so,
on the record, though, the city that I live in, no tornadoes.
Okay.
No earthquakes.
So we can start a pool now to see when within the next six or three or four months when that tornado is going to hit, in your part of town. Because aren't you, by making that statement, pretty much challenging nature?
No, that depends on nature listening.
Nature might just look over at you and say, challenge accepted.
You're right. I have insurance. And we're going to settle that. And guess what? I'm going to pack my stuff up. I want to go.
Okay. So anyway, what you'll notice is that just about every step that he was talking about, and at the tail of that interview, I didn't really get the three steps that he was talking about, the three things that we need to do. I think we only got two of them, which was basically letting the Republican Party know, hey, you either stick with Trump or we're going to get rid of you. And if they're like, well, the only choice you have is to put a Democrat, I would rather know that the person in office is an enemy than not know that the person in office is a traitor.
Huh.
And the other thing was the local councils, local town hall meetings and things along those lines. To make sure that the Republican-minded conservative people are heard, as opposed to Antifa.
Mm-hmm. All right,
but I didn't catch his third point. I don't know if he ever got around to his third point.
No, he pretty much stuck to that. But yeah, he didn't pretty much point out a third point. I'm kind of glad that you actually said that, because I was like, well, I guess we're not going to get to the third.
Well, I didn't hear him actually bring it up. And see, here's the other thing with this. You know what? If this is the only voice that we've heard, making statements like this, then it would be easy to discount. It would be easy to brush it off and say, that's a bunch of bogus. But this kind of ties in with the whole Seth Rich thing, too. And I'll get around to explaining that. See, in order to get away with their impeachment, they're going to have to play the Russian hacking card.
Yeah.
And the Seth Rich narrative directly contradicts the Russian hacking card.
But what was the point of Kushner going behind the the cabinet is saying to the Russians, let's open up a link of communication, a line of communication, without, you know, the cabinet members knowing or Congress knowing. What would be the purpose of that?
Well, from what I understand, and they've been beating that drum pretty hard, too, from what little bit I've heard of it. They've been trying to make this argument that there's never been any such things as back channels in the presidential public office. And that's just wrong. There have always been back channels. But somehow, again, because Trump's trying to do something, or because now if it's Kushner acting independent of Trump, then Trump needs to get rid of Kushner. But if he's acting with Trump's blessing on this, then it's essentially Trump trying to set up a back channel direct communication to, you know, the Russian government. And, you know, I ran across a map the other day. You realize that Russia is about twice the size of the continental U.S. and Canada.
I'm aware of that, and I'm aware that a lot of that country land is unoccupied.
That's true, which means there may still be spaces to run to in Russia that might be semi-safe as long as you can stay under the radar, but that's beside the point. The point is, why would you not have an open communication with a perceived enemy?
Well, that's kind of a double sword there, because if you do open up communications, and Russia is well known for hacking, even though they say they don't commit those kinds of things. They're into hacking, and it's proven.
Well, so NSA's into hacking.
We understand, though. There's plenty of forms of being able to infiltrate the systems that we have, phones, radios, transmissions. They're just as advanced as we are. And half of America don't even know how advanced we are.
Right. The consumer curve is supposedly about 30 years behind the technology, the actual technology curve, is the number that I've been given, that I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say around there about 20, 30 years. Yeah. I agree. Another reason I kind of think that it's a double sword simply is I don't think that I do think that Putin would have America hacked simply for the simple fact that during his election, the United States got involved in his campaign as well and literally said that his presidency was a fraud. So if you're messing with another man's election, what do you think he's going to do in return? And here
we
are.
We have a very strong possibility of that. So here's the question.
Right.
What are we doing messing around with elections in other countries?
We have always done so. What do you mean?
Okay. So here's the other side of that coin then. What gives us the right, and why do we have the moral high ground if we're trying to mess with other people's elections to be so irate and irritated if they try to mess with ours?
We do not have the right. And secondly, anytime we want something done, America does it. We want somebody else in power. We're going to put somebody there. We're going to collapse our economy and then put somebody there. Either way, America has a system in place to do what it has been doing since, I don't know, the 1800s.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you. You're right. The show from last night, they were discussing Poverty Incorporated, which is a documentary that's available now on Netflix. I have not as of yet watched it, but based on a lot of the information that I've gathered over the years, I understood exactly what they were talking about, and it's all used in the same playbook. But see, now they're bringing out new playbooks with this impeachment thing. Normally, if we had to go through this impeachment process, it would be either hold a special election or it would be, pull up from the ranks. And the correct way to do it is to pull it up from the ranks. But now if they come along with this FEMA provisional government, which I find interesting because a few years ago that would have been called the continuity of government, wouldn't it?
As far as I know.
So now that they know enough people have heard about the so-called continuity of government plan, now it's time to rebrand it again. We're going to go with a temporary FEMA provisional government under the Department of Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm.
Which is different how? Or is it basically the same thing about Al-Qaeda morphing into ISIS?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because you had a lot of folks out there that instead of talking about Al-Qaeda, they would talk about Al-Qaeda. And then all of a sudden, we have to do something to change this. We can't have this going on because then too many people are waking up. So we're going to have to rename it to the Islamic State, whatever in the hell it is, ISIS or ISIL.
Yeah, Islamic State. And not only that, but you have to allow bombings to happen or help them set up the bombings to happen. That way we'll have a cause. This is a very violent and combative game we're playing. And you know what? Maybe we're not even playing the game because no one is really speaking out of the truth. And there's 99.
Well, a lot of people still don't even realize that there's this deep state coup going on. Okay, for instance, let's look at it from the Democratic perspective just for a moment. If somebody, you know, talks about the deep state doing whatever they can do to keep Trump muzzled or his hands tied or taken out of office or whatever, then that's what you want to hear anyway. So why look at it too close? Right?
I see.
And then if you have, you know, if the opposing segment of society, if the majority of them are still, if there's a large portion of them still asleep, then they're no threat.
You know what? That's just it. I don't think half of America is asleep. I think more people are waiting now at this point in time than ever. They just don't know how to move about. And by what's shown on the media, what's shown in the news, what do you see on YouTube, if you do, death will find you. And people aren't about losing their lives.
Well, let me ask you this. When Seth does, okay, let's assume for a moment that Seth did what is being claimed. In other words, he leaked the DNC email database to WikiLeaks. That's the claim. And that's the claim that they're trying really, really hard to debunk right now. Okay. But let's assume he did that. Do you think he did that from a position of fear? Or from a position of this isn't right and something has to be done about it?
Probably both. I don't think that he was aware that it would lead to his death, maybe imprisonment, but I don't think that he was aware that it would lead to death.
That's
a possibility. And so in knowing that, I'm pretty sure there was some fear.
So you're saying that he was basically naive?
He was.
For Christ's sakes, we're dealing with the Clintons, okay? And that's who we were dealing with in that particular phase. And who hasn't heard of the Clinton death count or Arkansas?
Right. That's true.
Think he believes it now?
Huh?
Do you think he believes in it now?
Oh, of course.
See, a lot of times people don't realize it, but a lot of times we tend to blind ourselves simply by saying, okay, that's just impossible. It could never happen here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what's so crazy is, like, I don't, how do you think that it wouldn't happen in America? There's scientists from Iraq and from Iran that are murdered. They're on the daily basis by Mossad, which is an Israeli military service, right? And so you have these people going out killing people. They kill Hamas leaders in hotels, like, and literally walked out the building like nothing happened. So if it can happen in any of these random places, then America is no exception. They killed a man in the middle of an airport, for God's sake.
Well, and that kind of stuff happens here all the time. It's just if people don't believe it, or
exactly.
If people accept the... Okay, and see, that's according to, I think it was another Larry Nichols interview where he was talking about, well, what's one of the key signs of an Arkansite? And he's like, well, one of the key signs of an Arkansite is where the family comes out and says, stop spreading conspiracy theories. In other words, the family is pressured into making a public statement to squash any additional investigation, any outside investigation, any speculation, which is exactly what's happened here.
Right.
The family went from hiring a special private investigator or a private investigator to not wanting this to be looked into anymore.
Well, I'm pretty sure that, you know, they're like misled and like, yeah, it's for your benefit and touch. Which it may be. They might get some kind of compensation, a book bail later or what. I don't know.
I don't know either. Well, we have now come up to the top of the hour. So I'll play a couple of promos.
All right.
And we'll see what we do with the rest of this.
Very well. See you when we get back.
Broadcasting live with the Vince Infinite Source Broadcast Network.
Yeah, okay. I went ahead and dropped an extra promo in there for Michael's thing on Monday, but he's doing his on his own network. You were just talking about, what was that article you were just talking about?
I'm going over Twitter as I'm talking to Gray, and one of the things that pop up on Al Jazeera English, which is a site that I follow on Twitter, it says Trump's America may seem like a cruel new psychology experiment, but U.S. society has been sick for some time. That kind of caught my eye, and I brought it across Gray to see what he would think about it, or he heard me and figured we'd go over that, which makes sense. By the statement, what would you say, Gray?
Is something wrong in the country? Yes, the power has bubbled to the top. And that's really what brews down to being wrong, is all the power has basically been collected at the top. That's the way I see it. That's the sickness. You know, if you look at the fact that 40 years ago, back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, you know, dad could go out and work a job and raise a family of 8 kids and mama and yada, 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 and still be able to pay for the house and all of this good stuff, to where now it takes multiple incomes. And most people, you know, don't ever really get to the end where they actually buy the house. They usually end up selling it and whatever the case may be. Things have definitely gone wrong. I don't know that it's a psychological thing. I think it's more a systemic thing.
But in the terms of psychology, doing something over and over, by definition, is a sickness.
That's true. That's true. And like to follow kind of hand in hand with what what Nichols was saying a while ago, is like you tell the lie long enough and strong enough, and people believe it is truth.
Right.
And so what lies have they been pushing? The Russians hacked the election. Bill Clinton, or they're getting everybody primed for Trump to be
impeached. Yeah.
So, I have to make another notation.
But you know, it's kind of crazy because it's the media that put all that out, and nobody really is saying that. If it is, it's a couple people, and the media just blows it up. And it's like that's what they're doing to get their coverage and people watching, which is kind of sad. And I understand why he kind of want to put a muzzle on them. But at the same time, if you take that away, you take away the people's ability to judge you in the court of the people. And the court of the people go hand in hand with media, unfortunately.
You mean the court of public opinion?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Exactly. What did I say?
the court of the people or something like that.
Yeah. So, but you understood what I was trying to say.
Right.
You know, there it is. Where do we go from there?
Apparently, I pulled up Drudge Report here for a second, and there's a report at the top of Judge Post government on Judge the Leaks.
You had to repeat it. You kind of broke up there.
I said, apparently there's a new report that came out on the New York Post. The government is spying journalists and leakers by John Crudell. There was a big ruckus about 4 years ago when the Associated Press announced that telephone records for 20 of its reporters had been subpoenaed by the Justice Department. The government was apparently looking for CIA leaks about an operation in Yemen. While a Washington source of mine tells me that it's happening again, the Justice Department has gotten a warrant from the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court also known as FISA court, to conduct electronic surveillance on a group of journalists who have been the recipient of leaked information. The journalists are not the target, according to my source, and I say thank goodness for that. Instead, the Trump administration is looking for the leaker. Some in the administration are focusing on a retired high-ranking military officer who held important posts in the intelligence service, according to the source. The possibly high-ranking leaker was getting some of his information from people inside the White House who were holdovers from the Obama administration, the source said. Those White House leakers, said to be feasible, have either already been fired or soon will be. And these cases, I'm told, have turned over to the Justice Department for possible prosecution.
Yeah.
But you can bet that the spin that's going to be put on that is, you know, Trump's doing something wrong again.
Oh, of course. I got a report from The Hill, and it says Trump admits White House staff is source of damaging leaks. This is at The Hill. I don't know about that.
Oh, but that's what they've been—that's what they've been saying for a long time. You know, Clinton holdovers, deep state holdovers, or not Clinton holdovers, Obama holdovers, and deep state Obama appointees are doing everything they can, you know, to get rid of him, or make things uncomfortable for him.
Right.
All right. Well,
everybody would
kind of expected. I kind of expected to be able to pull more out of that earlier article or earlier interview, but, and so I really wasn't prepared for going much beyond that. So I'll tell you what, why don't we go ahead and call it a night on this? And we can go back and listen to it after it posts and tell of what we need to do better.
Not a problem. I'm with you on that.
Okay. So what I'm going to do, let's just go ahead and call this, call it a night. We'll shut it down and try to do it better next time.
All right. A little bit more structure.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.